forward in his 21st season. The greatest Dallas Mavericks in franchise history, El Cabana from the G, number 41, Nowitzki!
Hello, everybody. My name is Logan, and welcome to Dallas Mavericks Preview and Review Unfiltered. And remember, we're by the fans, for the fans. And I'm here with my friend Murphy today. Murphy, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Logan. Thank you for asking. And I'm a longtime Mavericks fan. And we got a lot to unravel with the game tonight, so I'm excited about it.
Yes, we do. It's currently 1 a.m. right now, Central Time. But, you know, I'm off school. It's the weekend, so, you know, I don't have to worry about having to get up at 6 a.m. So, you know, that's all in dandy. And the Mavericks game, well, to put it in a nutshell, it was as crappy as the weather was outside today, I must say. And just hopefully everyone was able to survive all the storms that came through DFW. Hopefully everyone was safe. You drove safe because those storms, man, people in Dallas probably have some of the worst driving I've ever seen. And I've only been driving for about 6 months. So, yeah, and that should say a lot.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, the storms outside were tough, but the storm that the Lakers brought into the American Airlines Center tonight was somehow even worse than those. The Lakers just completely blew this game open from the start. There really was no chance for the Mavericks the entire time, it felt like. And part of that is due to the poor shooting, but it's also due to the poor defense, which we've seen throughout the season. The poor shooting efficiency is something that you don't usually see from this Mavericks team, but I don't know if it was just LeBron finding his teammates for good shots or just the energy brought in the game from guys like even Caruso and Kuzma, who you wouldn't expect to have a big night like they did tonight.
Yeah, that's a great point. And just one thing you even notice is even when Luka was finding open players, they just really weren't hitting their shots consistently tonight. The second half was a lot better than the first half, I will say. Second half, they looked to have a lot more fight in them, which I do give credit, but I mean, it just was a really just ugly game to all out. I mean, the old cliche about the NBA that in all sports is no matter how ugly the loss is, it still only counts for one loss. So I mean, you kind of just move past this, and you know, you just move on with life. And even though you had a bad game, we have a back to back. Philly is coming to town tomorrow, so we got to get prepared and try to bounce back and win tomorrow.
Right. This game to me really felt like the story of the season. First quarter, being outscored 45-27 is almost an insurmountable deficit for one quarter of play. Because throughout the rest of the game, we played them even, if not better. Second quarter, we were a -3. Third quarter, we turned it around. We held them to 20 points in the third quarter, which compared to 45 in the first is phenomenal defense. But the scoring, it just wasn't there when it needed to be. We went on that huge run in the third, brought it back to 10. Felt like we had some momentum in the game, and then Lakers just turned back on the heat, and there was really no chance for us after that.
Yeah, and I have it here up on my phone. The Mavericks did not come within, I think, a single digit deficit. They were pretty much down by 10 plus the entire game, which just does a lot. I mean, I think the most they got within was 10, and even when they cut it to 10, the Lakers just kept hitting their shots, and the Mavs would go cold. It was just really an off night. The Mavs shot under 50% from the field, which is not good. I think Lakers shot way above 50% from the field. And we can run through some stats here. LeBron, a monster game, 35 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists on 14 out of 25, 56% from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, 3 of 6 from 3. Had 14 defensive rebounds, only 3 turnovers, and he led the way for the Lakers, and just another dominant performance by LeBron. But here's the one that, when you go looking for the box score, that's kind of shocking. Not shocking, but very surprising given the circumstances. Kyle Kuzma tonight, in 33 minutes, had 26 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and he shot 9 for 22, only 40%, but he still was very efficient, pretty efficient at 40%, but Kyle Kuzma having a big game in the wakes of AD not being out because of his bruised contusion on his butt. But, you know, Kyle Kuzma stepping up because, you know, around Kyle Kuzma, you had all the trade talk about LeBron wanting to trade him. But these two games without AD is very a chance for Kyle Kuzma to step up and show the Lakers he's still worth him not being traded.
Well, and we've seen Kuzma play this season. We know he's underperformed mightily by his standards and by the team standards, even the league standards. He was heavily sought after. They really wanted to keep him in that trade with Anthony Davis. They said, he's the guy we need. We'll send you Ingram, Lonzo, but we're keeping Kuzma no matter what. And he's turned out, it looks like so far, to be the worst of the three. He's
Exactly, yeah.
definitely been outplayed by Ingram this season. And the fact that he had 26 tonight, he only shot 40%, 25% from deep, but the fact that, just putting up 26 points on a night like tonight when he's played so poorly this season is a backbreaker for our team. But let me tell you, I don't know if I'd call it a benefit or a burden, but I was at the game tonight, and the energy in that arena after that first quarter when we just seemed to implode and not hit any shots and not play any sort of defense, the energy just dwindled, man. When the game began, it felt like such a hyped up game. Everyone was excited. And granted, there was a lot of Lakers fans there, as there always is when you go to any opposing team arena when the Lakers visit, and that always hurts. But gosh, I mean, when we started to come back, the only time that there felt like there was any momentum on our side is when winning a little run. Tim Hardaway hit that final three to bring it back into 10. And then the fans got up a little bit, started cheering. I could kind of, feel the rejuvenation in there. And then quickly, it just all fell out for the rest of the game, and there was nothing we could really do.
Yeah, I mean, it was
So that was
just,
pretty painful, I'll tell you that much.
yeah, it was pretty painful to watch. And I mean, I already went on a little 5-minute rant about the officials. We can briefly discuss it, or we can have a lengthy discussion about it. But I mean, it's frankly 1 a.m. I don't want to go on a huge rant. I'm really tired. But one thing I can say, the Mavs that really hurt them really was the Mavs. I don't know what it is about the Mavs. They don't like driving to the basket. Luka, like, he likes driving to the basket because he's good at it. But when other Mavs, like this, as a basketball player, and as someone who coaches basketball currently, now I'm not coaching like at a high level, but just coaching in general, I'm smart, I have IQ. It really frustrates me when I see it. When I see like the Mavs have like a fast break and they're passing down the court, and then they'll just settle for like they'll drive halfway in the lane, they'll just kick it out for a three. And even miss or make, most of the time miss. I'm mad because on a fast break, I feel like you just got to take that drive because most of the time they're gonna either have a they're gonna foul you to prevent a layup or you're gonna get fouled going to the basket. So I really wish the Mavs would take advantage and just drive the basket more because I feel like my philosophy in basketball is you gotta shoot the three. But driving the basketball is still the most efficient way to win because if you're getting to the basket, you're going to be getting more free throws and you're also going to be shooting a high percentage shot, which is a layup.
Agreed. And we've seen this in recent years, with the Mavs shooting a lot more threes to try to keep up with the movement of the league. I mean, every year they seem to be breaking records in 3 points attempted, 3 pointers made. They shot 53s the other night in the loss. I forget which game it was, but they shot 38 tonight, 11 for 38.
11 for
That
38.
is not a solid
That's
percentage. 28.9% from deep is
28%.
not
That's
what
not
you're
good.
looking for. That's not going to win you basketball games, especially not games against teams like the Lakers, the Bucks, the Clippers, the top teams in the conferences. If you're going to be shooting all those threes, you're going to have to hit some, because a lot of the threes they got were good looks. Finney Smith from the corner is a wonderful look. He had a few open ones that he missed. Maxey missed a few from the wing that should have gone, and Luka's step backs weren't falling. When those kind of shots aren't going in, you're not going to beat these top tier teams.
Yeah, I feel like the Mavs are one of those teams. They shoot a lot of threes, but they actually, I mean, not discarding this game, they shot bad, but around the whole year, I think they're in the top 10, and they were in the top 10 3-point percentage last time I checked. I don't know how far they've fallen now. They're probably still around top 15, which is when you're shooting like the second most threes a game, being in the top 10 in percentage is still pretty good.
Right. But living and dying by the threes, it works sometimes. There's games that we really like, those two games we won earlier in the season back to back, where we won by what, 48 and 49 respectively. Those type of games are games when you look really good, when you're hitting all those threes, and then games like tonight, you can get heavily criticized for taking the shots if you're not making them. So
Yeah.
really, it just depends on your circumstances.
And I think it's a lot of it's coaching too. Now I'm not blaming Rick. Now Rick to me this year, I'm a fan of Rick, but there have been some things I haven't liked. The rotations have been kind of spotty. But just the thing, I feel like the philosophy of just jacking up as much threes as you can, I feel like that's not sustainable. Like especially when you get in the postseason because the thing is that you can live by the three, but like when you die by the three, you will die by the three. I mean, it can if you have to score only if you have to shoot almost 40 threes a game, you at least got to be making 17, 18 of those a game to even get to like 65, 70 points. And it's just I just don't feel like it's a sustainable strategy. I'd much rather see him taking a lot more, doing more of a Spurs philosophy, taking high percentage mid range and in the paint shots.
Right. And I mean, living and dying by the three, it can work, you know, if you have players like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant on your team. But when you got Finney Smith shooting nine threes, Tim Hardaway firing up nine, you got Justin Jackson missing threes, Brunson was 0 for 2 from deep tonight. When you have players like that who are very solid rotation players, I give you that, and they can shoot the basketball and they can play at a high level, but they're just not, you know, they're not all-time greats like Curry and Thompson are, and that's why they've been so dominant these past few years, because they have a perfect system that gets them open threes, and they knock them down, and just because they're that good, and we don't have players that can knock them down at a high clip like that.
And I give you. Let's get into some Luka talk for the night, because there were some very interesting things that happened with Luka tonight. Luka, now when your best when your player's off night is 25, 10, and 7, that's pretty good. But Luka,
It's pretty impressive.
he was visibly frustrated all game, and it was rightful, because I mean, there's clips of him just getting absolutely hacked on the arms and stuff, and him shake like just slam, and they're not calling foul. I mean, he was visibly frustrated, and we got our second Luka jersey rip. I mean, I've played basketball. It is hard to rip those well-made jerseys, and I mean,
Oh, yeah.
he ripped it almost halfway, exposing those Luka nips. And I mean,
He could have ripped it all the way down if he
no,
wanted to.
he could have ripped it all the way down if he wanted to. And then he was trying to cover it. And then I think it was Jeff Van Gundy. They're trying to say, well, if you're gonna rip it all the way down, you might as well just let expose the chest. I mean, and then everyone was making all the Luka like fangirls are like, oh my God, on Twitter. I was just
Of course.
dying left. I know the Stephen A. Smith freaking like fan account, or it was the Stephen A. Smith burner
Oh, yeah, the
account.
burner.
Yeah, it tweeted like all the NBA media, like he captioned it, all the NBA media seeing Luka without his shirt on. It was like Stephen A. saying, "I'm horny. I am horny through all parts of the day." And it was like,
That account is gold.
dude, the
But,
Stephen A.'s burner is the best account on Twitter. It's not even close.
oh, it's definitely up there. But, I mean, Luka ripping his jersey, I mean, look, that just shows how competitive he really is, how much he actually cares about winning, because you see a lot of the stars in today's league, they're really in it for the money. You know, they play basketball because they love it, but when it comes down to winning games in January of the regular season, it really doesn't matter that much to them. But for some reason, Luka, he cares so much about the game, so much about his teammates. He's been like this, you know, since he played at Real Madrid. He's always been hyper competitive, and it really goes to show what kind of person he is and what kind of player he is. But I think that's one of the reasons that the Mavs have taken a step forward this year, is because he went through an entire season of losing last year, and you could tell he didn't enjoy it.
Oh no.
So seeing him actually care this year, actually, you know, he's played hard his whole career, but now he's put in a position where he can win games, and now he has that taste of winning, and whenever he loses it sends him off on a tangent. It's a whole new level. So I love seeing him, you know, this competitive.
Oh yeah, and it's just one thing. It's really a bad habit, and I can give you more of a perspective of just me being a younger Dallas sports fan. Very, I'm a sophomore in high school, but take it there for a grain of salt. But like, in my lifetime as a now the Mavs won championship, yes, but I wasn't really old enough to like be able to remember specifics about that. But like, pretty much my whole lifetime of comprehending Dallas sports is just getting my hopes up and being let down. I mean, the Cowboys, they've got my hopes up, let me down so many times. Every team I've ever watched has gotten into the playoffs. I've had high hopes and they've choked or they failed. So I mean, just my whole motto as a Dallas sports fan is really skewed, just in the way that like I never get excited for anything because I always feel like I'm going to be let down, which it's a very bad thing to have. But I mean, that's the life. That's the miserable life of a Dallas sports fan. You just think everything sucks all the time, and.
Yeah, especially being a Cowboys fan, that can't be more true.
Yeah, that was a burden I wish I didn't have to be born into. But
Luckily, I'm old enough where I was able to enjoy the Mavs championship and really appreciate it. So that really put into perspective the last few losing seasons, because after we won that championship, you know, we may not have won a playoff series since then, but we've stayed competitive. We made the playoffs multiple times and had some great series, some great moments. So it's at least now being able to know that we're back to that level where we can compete and every game does matter. We're not playing for the end of the season to see what kind of draft pick we get. It's a wonderful feeling.
Oh yeah,
It's something I haven't felt in a while.
it is a wonderful feeling, and really, it's one of those things that, like, I always believe that, like, I felt like that in 2006. Now, I never watched the finals. I mean, I've read all the stories and seen all the clips from the 2006 finals, but I really believe that if Dirk would have won that finals, it really would have changed his outlook of players wanting to come to Dallas. Because if Dirk would have won that finals in 06, he would have been looked at as this European juggernaut who just carried. Who just took a team to the finals, like at like 25, 26, and won in the finals. I really feel like that at that point, Dirk would have attracted a lot more free agent attention than he did, because the Mavs in those early 2000s, those late 2000s, they were really looked at like the CP3 Lob City Clippers. Is they would be really good in the regular season, but then they would always choke in the playoffs. And
Yeah, that's a great comparison.
I think. And even when Dirk carried the Mavs to the championship in 11, I mean, that was like one of the last years in his true prime. I feel like it took everything he had to win the championship. And I mean, he was only averaging like 22 points in the regular season, but in that postseason run, he went up to like almost 30 points a game. It was one of the greatest. I think it's the greatest playoff run by any team. I mean, he beat a Brandon Roy Trailblazers team that was pretty stacked. He swept the he ended the Phil he ended Phil Jackson's career, ended that Lakers dynasty, swept them 4-0.
Right.
Then he 4-1'd the young OKC Thunder, and then in a finals which no one predicted, in a finals that no one predicted Dirk to win, he took the Mavs and they won, what was it, 4-2, I think.
Yep, 4-2 of the finals.
4-2, and it was honestly because of that comeback in like game two where they were down almost 30. It was the best finals comeback ever, and you know Dirk was the best player in the NBA in that playoffs, and it wasn't even
Oh, yeah.
close. So.
Yeah, and that really makes me appreciate Rick and all he's done for the team and how long he stayed here, because having a head coach that has a winning recipe and knows how to get it done, that stays loyal with the team, that's something you don't see very often. He's what, tied for the second longest tenured coach in the league. And I think that's huge for not only Luka, but Porzingis and future free agents, knowing that they have some consistency at the head coach position. Because what was it? Porzingis had a head coach, different head coach in every season he was in New York, if I'm not mistaken. So I
Yes.
think this will really help him especially. But speaking of Carlisle, did you see the LeBron and Carlisle altercation tonight?
I saw it, but I did not get to like see it fully, but I do believe they like stared each other down. That's all I can.
Yeah, they stared each other down. They exchanged some words. I'm not great at lip reading, but Jake came for the ticket. I think he heard, or somebody told him that something, I believe it was Carlisle was complaining that he thought LeBron traveled, and LeBron obviously didn't agree. And so
He
Carlisle
definitely
was just,
traveled.
I believe so
There's the clip
too,
of
but
him like walking.
Carlisle was just talking to the refs. Yeah, Carlisle was speaking to the refs about it, not even talking to LeBron. LeBron was just passing by and heard Carlisle complaining like he does, which he needs to. And LeBron turns around and says, and I quote, "Shut your damn mouth." So
Oh
there was
my
definitely some bad
goodness.
blood going down tonight. It made for an entertaining game. Didn't, I was hoping that that might have sparked some energy in the team, especially I thought the ejection would really help spark some energy, but man, we just didn't have it in us tonight like the Lakers did.
Okay, speaking of the ejection, that is what I want to talk about next. So it was about what? I would say late third quarter. About that's around
About, yeah.
about late th about around 3 or 4 minutes left. So LeBron, the ball, the Mavs are the ball hits off LeBron, goes out of bounds, and LeBron's trying to get Frank Vogel to challenge, but in the process, the Mavs are able to inbound the ball, which in the constitution of the NBA rules, if a player inbounds the ball, the team should can, the opposing team cannot call timeout or challenge. But somehow, some way, LeBron was able, they got the refs for the Lakers to convince them to like grant them the challenge, and then Rick comes steaming onto the court saying they can't do that, that's illegal, which he was correct, that's illegal, you can't do that. And Rick proceeded to get ejected, and he takes his jacket off and almost chucks it onto the floor, which would have been amazing if he would have done it.
I wish, man.
But you know,
I wish, but yeah, that was, it's cool to see him heated like that. You don't see that too often.
and I think at that point in the game was pretty much lost, so you might as well just show all your fury to the refs. And I didn't listen to any post game comments about anything yet about him like cussing out the refs or anything. But I mean, if he did, he's getting fined. But I'm really interested to see what Luka said post game. Luka was talking about post game about how just how like. He Luka looked in the post game. I just watched a couple of videos. He looked visibly frustrated and like he looked like he was just really pissed off. And I think he's valid to be frustrated. I mean, it's one of those nights where he had a lot of turnovers. The team just wasn't making open shots. And there is a void in this team right now, and the void is Kristaps Porzingis. I think Kristaps
Right.
Porzingis is so important to this team's, not just the offense and the floor spacing, but just the mentality of that defensive core. He is that defense in the paint. I mean, when the Mavs beat the Lakers in their other two games, they were all close games. The Mavs won one of them, and it was largely because KP can alter shots and block shots and get rebounds. And without KP tonight, I mean, I hate Powell. I mean, I can get on his butt. I mean, I'm just beating a dead horse at this point. And I really don't want to get into the whole Powell conversation, but I mean, Powell is just he. They run him at five, and he's a four. He's just and you would think he's like 6'8", but he's actually 6'11", even though he plays like he's 6'5". He can't get a rebound to save his goddamn life. And frankly, he
Right.
gets boxed at the paint by anybody, and he gets hit in the face every single game. And it's just he can't get rebounds.
Or at least he thinks he does.
Well, no, I swear to God, he gets hit in the face once a game, like legitly. Once a game, he just gets hit in the face. It's weird, but the Mavs just don't have that guy, and we can get it in this one when we get closer to the trade deadline. We can do it. We can do countdown to the trade deadline. We can be doing our
Right. But
theory.
now you bring up Porzingis. What do you think? Should we push the panic button on him? I mean, he's been out a lot longer than expected for what seemed like a minor injury.
Yeah, I feel like they are hiding something, but like you don't just inject a knee for soreness, because
Exactly.
I've had knee injuries. That's not how that works. You don't inject a knee for soreness. So that tells me this could be maybe like some tendonitis type stuff, which hopefully will just heal and calm down on its own. But I feel like they're being extra precautionary with him. I feel like a lot of it's extra
Yeah, I
precaution.
believe so. I mean,
And also, think about it,
God, I just.
he had the sore knee, and he's been sick all week. So I think they just told him just take the rest of the week off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little worried because we know that he built up his body this summer, which we thought would, in turn help him eventually become stronger and not have to deal with these type of injuries for his lower body. But do you think that maybe building up his upper body and becoming a lot stronger up there can cause problems to the lower body, kind of like it has to Zion for
Well,
his entire short career that he's had so far?
being a former athlete, and I retired from the game of basketball because of injuries. It's kind of a joke because I mean I didn't really retire, but I mean I haven't really played a lot since my ankles decided to just stop working. But I've had some really injury issues, and like I can just tell you when working on your upper body really. Now I don't think it was his upper body causing his knee problem. Now, because this is the big thing, it's not his ACL knee, it's his other knee. What I think could have been happened is maybe
Right.
he was overcompensating too much. Like he was using his good knee more than his bad knee, which threw off his balance, which means he's been overworking his good knee. So maybe that could have
Which is
caused.
highly possible. Yeah,
Well,
that happens to a lot of
I
guys.
did the same thing when I was playing basketball. Like when you, it's very easy to overcompensate coming off an injury. You don't want you like you worry about your bad knee, and you start putting more pressure and like changing how like you play. Like I played like a lot
Yeah, you
different.
start really leaning on the other knee.
Exactly,
And
and I.
that can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, so hopefully it's just precautionary. I mean, he got his knee shot up, which should numb anything. I'm just worried about a lingering problem, but at least it's not his ACL knee. So hopefully that's
Right.
healing. I think hopefully
Okay.
he comes back after the Philly game, but they play Golden State the next game, so they might just rest him for that game. So, but my thing with the Mavs is right now they're dropping some games and they're hitting the tough stretch, and the fan base is kind of panicking a bit. I don't want to get into the fan base. We probably have the most bipolar fan base I've ever seen. When we lose, the sky's falling. When we win, everything's fine. It's nothing. It's like the
That
lights
is
have.
very true.
It's
Yeah,
not like
the
it's.
fan base is very bipolar, but they have a little bit of a right to be, just the way the season's gone. We started off the season 6-5, very average, and then we went on that super hot stretch, going 10-1, pretty much knocking out everybody in our way. The fans were super high on the team, thinking I believe that's when we were around the 2 seed for a while, 2 and 3 seed. And then since that 10-1 stretch, we've gone 7-9. So
I honestly, if you don't have my opinion on it, I really think the fans, not to be like a pessimist, but I really think the fans got a little bit overhyped, because I feel like a lot of fans just want us to like, they think we're going to be like a 55, 60 win team, and I feel like that's just dumb, because I feel like that
yeah,
was,
that's ridiculous.
I feel like we're a young team that's still learning how to win, and I think that's the point of the season. I view this season a lot like what Denver did last year. they finally got their established guys, and they just tried to like develop them and like learn how to win. Like I think for this year for the Mavs, this is a let's now that we're good, let's try to like to learn how to win games, and let's make like the goal for this year was just to make the playoffs, and now like all the
Right.
half of our fan base thinks we're going to the Western Conference Finals, and I feel like for this year to be a success, we just need to make the playoffs. Making the playoffs is a success because even if you get knocked out in the first round, those players need to experience that devastating playoff loss so they're always motivated to never have that happen to them again. It's happened to everyone. All the good players in the league, especially for Luka. This is more about Luka, but like every like star player has experienced that really bad playoff loss and they never let it happen to them again.
I agree. This season should be almost solely based on, trying to learn, make mistakes and learn from them. Because I mean, honestly, this season we have some losses here in this last stretch, but we've played every team incredibly close. We've only had really three blowout losses, and it's been to the LA teams, two to the Lakers, one to the Clippers. Every other game has been very close game, very competitive down to the end. I think that has helped them extremely because I mean, obviously they haven't performed in crunch time. So
The only team,
they've had to learn.
the only team that the Mavs, I don't think the Mavs can beat when they're fully healthy is the Clippers. Because the Clippers just, they don't, the Mavs don't have the personnel to match up with the Clippers, but who does besides like a couple teams? But like when the Mavs were healthy, they would go toe to toe with the Lakers. So I mean, the Mavs have
Yeah, and
shown.
I think that the Clippers game, it kind of skewed everybody's opinion about Mavs Clippers rivalry because we've only played them once, and granted, it was very I'd say an embarrassing performance by the
We
Mavs, but
play the Clippers
it's a one
next
game
week.
sample size.
Play the Clippers next week.
Well, I guess we'll find out then, but after the if we just looked at what was it, that one Lakers game where we got blown out of, if we just looked at this game actually, if this is the first time we played the Lakers this season, we would say, man, there's no way we could ever beat this team. They're just too dominant for us. We don't have the pieces. So I think a one-game sample size, like it is against the Clippers, really kind of skews the opinion of a lot of Mavs fans. I think there is a chance that we could compete with a team like that. Maybe, definitely, I don't think a seven-game series. I think we could maybe pull off two wins against the Clippers team, but I
Oh
think
no,
if we keep going the way we are
I agree with you. I
and
think
keep working like this and keep improving, if we keep getting, if Kristaps gets healthy, he could cause a lot of problems for them because they don't have the size to match up with a guy like Kristaps.
before the Mavs make any drastic moves that like screw up the depth or anything like that, I want KP to come back, and if they start having like these problems with KP back, then I'll be a little bit more concerned. But KP had being out does like make me think, okay, when he comes back it should go back to normal. And also I really think I mean, it's bad to schedule look, but I mean, February is a very easy month for the Mavs. They play like I think two playoff teams that whole month of February, and they need to take advantage of that and pretty much beat. They need to handle their business, and hopefully they're healthy in February, and they need to handle their business and beat all these non-playoff teams to help them get back up in the standings. Because February could be that big swing month for the Mavs to get back on top of the standings.
Very true. And I think going back to the whole, learning curve season, I think it's interesting how, when Luka went down for that, what, 4 or 5 game stretch, Porzingis kind of exploded. It kind of looked like he did it in New York. And whenever Luka plays, Kristaps kind of takes a step back and gets a little bit of hate, from the fans for not performing at a high enough level. So I'm curious to see if as the season progresses and as they go through it, a training camp together next offseason, maybe a playoff series together, they can kind of understand how to make that combination work because Luka, he's been Luka with or without Kristaps, and Kristaps is only Knicks Kristaps when Luka isn't out there.
I feel
And he's
like
still a very solid
I
role
feel like
player
it's a
and
part
a
of it's
great
a,
defender and rebounder, but.
I feel like it's kind of a thing to where I feel like KP, like when Luka is like with him, he wants Luka to like let Luka be Luka. But I feel like at the same time, KP's got to have enough confidence in himself to like want the ball too and want to score. But I feel like this season for KP for me, I wasn't expecting him to be like super amazing because I feel like when like even look what Gordon Hayward did last year. When Gordon Hayward came off that gruesome injury, he wasn't really good. But look what he's been doing this year. It usually takes these guys about a year to get back into full prime what they were playing before shape.
Right, yeah, and I mean Kristaps, don't get me wrong, he's had a great season. He's played very well for us, especially coming off 20 months of not playing basketball. But I feel like the only shot that I see him hit consistently is a buzzer beater from half court, and we need him to hit a lot more shots than that
I think his consistency will just go up after just playing. He just needs to play. I feel like consistency is something you build over time, and I feel like him being off for a while screwed up his consistency. But the thing I do like about Kristaps is we have been seeing him gain some of that aggressiveness back, like he'll drive and try to dunk on somebody. We have seen him that
is true. He has done that a lot more recently than he did when the season began, and that's definitely a positive sign from him. Maybe that's part of the reason his knees have been hurting him, because he's been a lot more aggressive. He's been more aggressive on the boards as of late as well.
Well, because
which has been huge for us.
Kristaps, if you watch him, he would pump fake. He would just drive and try to just end everyone's career at the rim. And I feel like whenever you injure yourself, you're always afraid to like go drive. Because I mean, the play he tore his ACL on was dunking on somebody. So.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you always have that in the back of your mind.
Having him back is. Yeah, having him back is going to help our rebounding woes. I mean, we were only out-rebounded on the defensive end by 7 boards, which isn't that crazy. And the offensive rebounds, we actually out-rebounded the Lakers by 5 on the offensive glass, and it really felt like the exact opposite. It felt like we were destroyed on the offensive glass.
They always, because when Powell gets off into rebounds, he doesn't do anything. And when half our guys get off into rebounds, there's like 1 second on the shot clock left, and they just throw it away.
Right, the only really solid offensive rebounder that does something positive is Finney Smith. He gets a lot of putback dunks, and that's really great. And Kristaps does that as well. Maxey as well. But it's a lot of rebounding kickouts, whereas the Lakers tonight, you know, Howard would shove somebody off him, grab the ball, and just dunk it really easily. JaVale, they did that a lot of times, especially early on.
If I would say the two pieces the Mavs are missing, that if they wanted to make a trade, they should choose one or try to get both at a cheap price. They need a secondary playmaker. I've thrown out Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is the perfect fit for this team. He'd be a perfect fit next to Luka, but I don't know.
Comes with a high price tag, though.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how much you're going to try to give up for him. I would look at that more of an off-season type trade. But another thing, this is a more broad topic for a separate pod, but the Mavs need a center. They need a true center who can get physical and get boards. They need someone to be next to KP so KP doesn't have to risk his body and his health every time trying to just out-body people for rebounds.
Right, and we talk about, you know, how a potential Drummond trade or a Tristan Thompson trade would look and how it all work out on another podcast, because we're kind of going over on time today. But I think having another solid, you know, inside defender, inside rebounder, inside shot blocker could honestly make the difference between a first round exit this year and maybe getting to the third round, which would be
improvement. The Mavs can win in the first round this year, but it's all about matchup. Like, I don't want to play the Lakers or the Clippers in the first round, but anybody else,
of course, yeah.
Give me anyone else.
Yeah, I think we match up well. We match up well against Houston, at least from the one sample size we have. Denver, those games have been good and close.
I don't know. Denver scares me a bit when we play them. Jokic, we don't know how to guard Jokic. We don't have a guy to shut him down.
No, if it's ever a close game, they just hand the ball to Jokic and game over for us. Seems like that happens pretty consistently.
Mavs more than that. I would have liked to see them double LeBron more. Make somebody else beat you. They didn't have AD. I would have liked to see.
That's true. A lot of teams are doubling Luka. You know, off pick and rolls, and you know, even in just half court sets when he's not really doing too much, they send another guy at him before he can, you know, make a play. And I think that's part of the reason that his turnovers have been higher this season, because he's been put in those spots where he has to find the open teammate. And he does a great job of it, don't get me wrong, but, you know, they put him in tough positions. A lot of time there's guys chasing him 94 feet up the court, just trying to, you know, get in his head a little bit, trying to rattle him. And he does a great job of keeping his composure, but, you know, let's not forget he's 20 years old. He's young. He's still learning how to make his way in this league. So it's going to take some time until he can, you know, do what he does at a LeBron level when they're throwing guys at him like that.
Yeah. And I just think like that. I feel like by the end of the year, I feel like everything will be better. Come playoff time, I think the Mavs rotation will be figured out more. And plus, in the playoffs is more about the star players than the bench. So I think in the playoffs, you'll see Luka and KP getting a lot more minutes and a lot more attention.
Hopefully. But I don't know. I don't want to go over today, so we don't want to talk about, you know, too many topics. The Lakers game tonight, it was a tough loss. It looked like the Lakers had it in control the entire night. It looked a little different than the other Lakers games we've played this season. It looked a lot more like that Clippers game. But we got a game tomorrow night against the 76ers, a team that we beat in Philadelphia, where they are an incredible home team.
Oh,
and they are a much worse road team. So that'll help.
Joel Embiid will not be playing in this game.
That's
I
huge. Yes,
guess
it's the gruesome finger injury.
I guess for our last thing segment, a little quick thing, we can just kind of preview the Sixers game really quick. So Sixers Embiid, he disgustingly popped his finger out of its socket, and they popped it back in, and he actually came back in and played, but they ended up reviewing an MRI that he did have torn ligaments in his hand, so he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. The Clippers are, I mean, the Mavs aren't gonna have KP, so the KP and the Embiid kind of negate each other. So the Sixers, I don't know. I think we'll lose close. It's just I feel like the Sixers just had a lot of scores, but you never know. The Mavs are weird. They can beat anyone on any given night, but they can also just have a they can lose to anyone too. The Mavs are just weird like that.
That's true. But the Sixers, we beat them in Philadelphia, which is impressive. They're 18-2 at home. They're only 7-12 on the road. And I know it appears for some strange reason we are a much better road team than a home team. We're nearly 500 at home, whereas we're, what, 12-5 on the road. So this will be an interesting matchup between a terrible road team and a terrible home team. So I'm excited to see who really comes out on top of this, because we've won 4 out of our last 10 games, and that is not what you're looking for if you're trying to be a competitive playoff team. But the Sixers, they've only won 5 out of their last 10, so both of these teams are coming in a little bit cold.
We need to stay until we get to February. We need to try to stay hovering around 10 games above 500 because, I mean, slowly but surely the Thunder are making a push to jump us for the sixth seed. So we need to, like, but even if we get jumped down, I feel like February is going to be our month to where we'll win, like, I don't know, we'll probably win like 14, 13 out of like 15 games in February, hopefully. Hopefully the Mavs shouldn't lose to any like horrible teams in February. They have a pretty slight schedule, but my Sixers prediction tomorrow,
Hopefully.
I'm going to say Sixers 115, Mavs 112.
Well, hopefully we can pull it off against the lesser teams. We have so far this season. We've been beating all the bad teams, essentially. We did lose to Charlotte the other night and things like that, but we've been losing to a lot of the better teams in the league. So if I were to make a prediction, I'll say, man, the Sixers, the defense is pretty solid. I'd say Mavs 122. Sixers 118. I'm gonna say we take the win in this one at
I
home.
guess the only good thing is that we can't just have someone post up on Powell or Maxey that can just
Oh, thank God.
outstrength them and just dunk on them. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the Mavs won tomorrow. I mean, we'll see how Luka is.
Yeah.
It is a back to back for us, so I'm taking that into a factor. I don't know if Philadelphia played tonight, but.
I don't believe so, but yeah, it's gonna be nice. I'm sick and tired of seeing Powell just get backed down by everybody. And
That's
I mean, you know, he's trying his best because he's one of the highest energy guys in the league. But okay, yeah, that's a pod for another day talking about
I'll just
Dwight.
give you all my trade tees. If the Mavs could find some way to land Miles Turner, I would throw a party because he is the perfect fit. He's from Dallas. He can get rebounds. He can stretch the floor. But honestly, I would take anyone at this point because anyone's better than Powell. But I really just think, like, just a quick little summary to sum this up. Dirk needed Tyson Chandler next to him because Tyson Chandler was physical and can get rebounds and do lobs. KP needs a same sort of like physical esque center next to him that can get boards and not because I don't want KP going to get those dirty rebounds where he could possibly get hurt. I just want him to get the rebounds he can and not have to worry about someone like elbowing him in the face or destroying him. But yeah, that's all I gotta say for tonight, guys. Tough loss tonight, but yeah, Murphy, you got anything to say before we head out?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys for listening. Hopefully the Mavs can bounce back tomorrow. But it was a tough loss tonight against the Lakers, a great team. But tomorrow against Philadelphia, we'll see how it goes. Ben Simmons might, cause problems if he's guarded by what are we gonna put DeLon Wright on him?
Just sag
I don't know, he's
off,
got a lot of
sag off.
size and we do yeah. I wish we could sag off, but we didn't really sag off Rondo tonight like I was expecting. He had a few buckets on us, so we'll see how that
All
goes. I
right.
don't anticipate Simmons has a huge game, but we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Before we head out, plug all your social media, whatever you want them to go follow.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at James_M41. That's really the only social media I use in terms of my MFFLness, being a Mavs fan. But keep checking out the pod. We're gonna have a lot of podcasts. We're gonna try to do a weekly pod where us and the other guys, Ryan and Joshua, are going to hop on with us, and we're going to try to do a lot of post-game pods too to recap like
Yes,
we did tonight.
I will definitely be doing. I'm Logan, by the way. I will definitely be trying to do a post game pod after most games, the night of West Coast games. Unless they're on the weekend, I'll post the day. I'll post the day after because West Coast games for me on school nights are just way too late. I can't stay up till 1 a.m. on school night doing a pod. But West Coast games, I'll get one off the next day. But on most nights, I'll pull Murphy or to one of the other guys to hop on with me post. But expect to see me and Murphy doing a lot of the post game pods because we're just more available than everybody else is. But yeah, you can find me on social media at Young Onyx on Twitter. That is capital YOUNG, capital ONYX. You can follow me. Make sure you guys share the pod. Please, please, please share the pod, guys. We got approved. We are now on Apple Podcasts. We are on Spotify. Go follow us. Go like us. Go give us a 5-star review on Apple. It would be very appreciated, guys. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts right now. We are currently on Apple Podcasts. It took a while, but we did get on there. You can follow us at Mavs Review and Preview Unfiltered, and then same thing on Spotify, guys. Please share. I'll put a link out on Twitter. Just go follow, guys. And remember, guys, we are by the fans for the fans. Have a great night.